Hallelujah. Would you stand with me right now? If you believe that this is a great and mighty God, would you just give him great praise? Jesus, we worship you. However you want to do it, with your hands, lift your voice. We worship you today, Almighty God. There is none like unto you. You are a great and mighty God. We praise you. We give you great praise. Amen. I'm thankful for the Word of God. The Word of God has no bounds and has no limits. And it can speak to us in any season of our life, direct us and guide us and heal us, convict us and work in us. Whether we're here in this church building today, for those of you that are watching online, or maybe even several days or weeks or months, the Word of God is so powerful that it can touch us every time that we hear it. And I'm thankful for His Word today. Are you thankful for His Word? And I want His Word to take deep root in my life today. And I wonder if you feel the same. Would you lift your hands right now? Would you ask God to begin to speak to you through His Word? Lord, I thank you for your anointed Word, your Word that never changes, your Word that is all powerful. And I pray today, God, that your Word would take deep root in our life. Speak to us and work in us and work through us. God, I pray that faith would begin to build in this place as your Word goes forth. I pray that healing and deliverance would take place today as your Word goes forth. And we thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you for your Word. Daniel chapter 3 and starting with verse 6. It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're watching online, thank you for joining in with us. There was a declaration in Babylon that everyone was to bow and worship the image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. Verse 6 says, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Verse 12. "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer these in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Then he said, "And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Verse 18, but if not, "be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up." I'm going to preach to you today on this title: Our God is Able, But If Not. Our God is able, but if not. Would you give him one more hand clap of praise before you're seated? Jesus, we praise you. We praise you and we worship you and we thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place. Amen. You may be seated. Babylon has always been the enemy of God's people throughout man's existence. At the time of Daniel's writing, the city of Babylon had reached the height of its glory in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. He made the city grand with canals and temples and palaces and famous streets and fortifications and the Hanging Gardens, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The key to Babylonian worship has always been the exaltation of the individual to become his own God. The very word Babel means the gate of God. And this is what those first Babylonian citizens of Genesis 11 were trying to build when they constructed their famous Tower of Babel. And they tried to make it easier to get to God. It was an easier man-made way to get to God. You know the story. God brought confusion to their language and scattered them. In our text, Nebuchadnezzar constructs an image of gold. It was not a small statue, but it was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Nowhere are we told that this image was of Nebuchadnezzar himself. It was always referred to as the image that he set up. Since worshiping the image is obviously connected to worshiping Babylonian gods, this image was not in the likeness of Nebuchadnezzar himself, but the gods that he served. Nebuchadnezzar makes this image, and then he commands that when you hear the music, you must fall down and worship the image that was made. If you did not follow the command, you would be cast into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was serious about his threat of destruction should the three Hebrew boys not submit. The furnace was the preferred method of death in Babylon. Even Jewish kings that had been captured were put to death in this manner. And Nebuchadnezzar would not tolerate this, not obeying this decree, not even from these boys. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew this wasn't right. They wouldn't bow because joining the crowd around the image would have violated the first of the two commandments that God had given them. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, we know this, and most can quote it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Mark 12 and 29, Jesus answered and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Nebuchadnezzar had taken measures to make the worship of the image appeasing to all of his subjects. The ceremony was attended by beautiful music that probably drowned out any reservations that the captives from other nations might have, except for these three Hebrew boys. Most likely, these boys were not the only Jewish captives in the crowd, but even though others bowed all around them, they stood tall and alone. I guess they could have looked around and said, well, everybody else is doing it. We might as well do it. But that did not matter to the servants of God. They would not bow. They would not take a knee to this man-made image. What the Babylonian mind doesn't understand is that God's commands refuse to bend. I'll say that again. God's commands refuse to bend. Not even when it is expedient or convenient. Truth cannot be changed even slightly, or then it becomes error. Just because you add a little music in with it did not make it right. Amen? These three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could have said, well, we will just conform outwardly. We will bow with our bodies. After all, it is the heart that matters most. But these boys made up in their mind that they would not bow. They would not be pressured by the multitude to fear the king. They would not compromise their beliefs. They were not willing to lay down what they knew was right. But you know, when you don't bow and everybody else is bowing around you, you are going to stand out. We read that certain Chaldeans went to the king and told him that these three Jews would not bow. It sounds to me like they are a little bit jealous. They're jealous because the king had promoted these three boys. They came to the king and said, there are a few Jews that will not bow. And here's their names: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you have promoted them, and you have put them in charge of the providence of Babylon. King, they will not serve your gods, and they will not bow down to that idol that you have set up. This, we read in Scripture, infuriated Nebuchadnezzar. He had them brought before him and asked them, "Do you not worship my gods and bow down to the image that I set up?" I think that Nebuchadnezzar maybe thought that this was an accident, that they didn't do it. And he was willing to give them a second chance. He said, "The music will play again. And when you hear the music, you must bow down. But if you refuse to bow, you will be thrown into a fiery furnace." But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not give in to fear. Hear me, somebody. They would not give in to fear of torture. They would not give in to fear of death. They would not give in to fear of their future. They would not lay down their principles. And they would not give up on what they knew was right. What they knew was right is God was on the throne. And that was the only one they were going to bow to. Their response to the king was a declaration of faith. You know what they said? "We know that our God is able to deliver us." And then they said, "And he will deliver us out of thine hand." It was a declaration that the God that we serve is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is still on the throne. Their response revealed that God was omniscient, all-knowing. Nothing surprises him. Nothing perplexes him. Nothing phases him. He is infinite in wisdom and knowledge. And he knew the circumstance that they were in and how it was going to end. Their response revealed that God was omnipresent, that he knew the circumstance, and he was not limited by time or place, but that he was with them right where they were at in that very situation. Their response revealed that God was omnipotent. There is nothing that he cannot do. There is nothing that can overtake him. There is nothing that supersedes him. There is nothing, and there is none beside him. He has no equal, and he has no rival, and he is omnipotent. He is the all-powerful God, and because he was all of those things, he could deliver them out of Nebuchadnezzar's hand. They proclaimed, "We know that God is able to deliver us." I could stop right there and probably finish this message right there with that declaration. We know that God is able. Do we know that today, church? We know that God is able to deliver from fear. The current situation that we're in right now, the current situation that our world is in right now, has let the spirit of fear run rampant. COVID-19, civil unrest and riots in our world and even in our city. Foreign threats have caused our world to fear. Let me tell you, somebody, that God is able to deliver from fear. God is able to deliver from anxiety. God is able to deliver from depression. God is able to heal every sickness. Do you believe that, church? We've been praying for Diane Shannon and Sandy Brady for quite a long time. I've come to declare that God is able to heal them. One of my good friends, Anthony Trimble, is facing cancer again, stage 4. God is able to heal him. Our pastor has cancer and is going to start treatments, I think, next month. You know what? God is able to heal him before he even goes. Do you believe that? God is able to restore your marriage. God is able to turn your work situation around. God is able to bring peace into this city. God is able to work out our family problems. Maybe you're having problems with your kids. Maybe you're having problems with your parents. God is able to work in your family problems. And God is able to deliver you or someone you know from addiction. These boys said, God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. I love that. Because what that says is they believed that God could, and they expected that God would. I said they believed that God could, and they expected that God would. They said He's able to do it, and He will do it. I think we ought to get that in our step, in our prayer, in our spirit, that God is able and that God will. God is able and God will. I believe that He can and I expect that He will. Those boys said they believed that He could and expected that He would. And then the next words that came out of their mouth are probably the most astounding to me. It takes their declaration of faith to the next level, if you will. God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Then they said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, we will not bow to fear. We will not bow to this circumstance. We will not bow to everything that you throw our way. We are standing strong and we are standing firm on God and His word. And we know that He's able to do it, and we're expecting that He's going to do it. You know, they did not have the miracle. They did not know the miracle that God was going to perform. They had no idea. They didn't know whether He would honor them before the king or not. But they knew He was able. And they expected Him to do it. And then they said this phrase, but if not. They knew He was able. They expected Him to do it. And then they left the rest up to God. They revered Him as sovereign, and they placed their life in God's hands. The phrase, but if not, wasn't them making an excuse for God if He didn't deliver them. They weren't trying to make excuses for God if He didn't do what they asked Him to do. It was a declaration that God was in control and He was sovereign in their life. He was all powerful and He was present and with them, and He was all knowing and He knew the end from the beginning. And because they esteemed Him as sovereign in their life, they let the king know that they were putting it in God's hands. And whatever God decided to do, they would accept that in their life. I don't know about you, but I want to get to that place in my life that I accept whatever God decides, I'm going to accept it. Whatever God decides is best for me, I'm going to accept that, God, because I am putting my life in Your hands. I want and must believe that He can. I must believe that He will. And then I've just got to leave the rest up to God. It's out of my hands. What would happen, church, if we got to the place that we trusted God like these boys did? God, I believe You can heal. And God, I expect that You're going to heal. We sometimes stop right there, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting for God to do it. If He doesn't do it in our time frame, we start getting discouraged. Am I preaching? If He doesn't do it in our time frame, we start to doubt a little bit. Doubt starts working on us, and then fear starts setting in and taking hold. And you know what happens? You know what we do when that happens? When God doesn't answer us when we think He ought to answer us? We bow to fear. That's what it is. That's what we're doing. We bow to fear and we bow to discouragement, and we let all of these other voices and all of these other things take hold in our life. The next step is, God, You are able and I know that You can, but if You choose not to, I'm still going to trust You and I'm still going to serve You, and I refuse to bow to doubt and I refuse to bow to discouragement. I feel like I can preach this today because I'm living right now with my dad. We don't even know all the things that are going on with my dad, and you know that as this church family. We have no idea what all the different things that are going on in his life, and it's almost been 3 years now. But I can stand here and say, God, I know you're able. And God, I believe that you're going to do it. But if not, if you choose not to do it, I will still trust you. I will still believe in you. I still believe that you're the healer. My faith will still be in you because I have made up in my mind and purposed in my heart that you are sovereign in my life. Would you lift your hands wherever you're at, online or in this church? Would you lift your hands and say, God, I want you to be sovereign in my life. I want to put my life in your hands today. Whatever you decide is best for me. I will accept that. We've got to get to the point that we really believe that scripture that says, your ways are not my ways, O Lord, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. I agree with Brother Reaver, what he preached recently. I don't always understand how it works out for the good. Sometimes we look at the situation that we're in, what our family is dealing with, or something that happens, and we look at that and say, there is no good that is coming out of this. But we've got to stand on the Word of God. And His Word says, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. But if not, was an excuse for God. Let me just stop here and say this. God doesn't need us to make excuses for Him. God doesn't need us to make excuses for Him if He doesn't answer our prayer the way we think He should answer our prayer. Some onlookers may say, those Christians are just making excuses for God when He doesn't answer their prayers. No. But if not means God is sovereign in my life. But if not means God is in control. He will answer. Hear me, somebody. I said He will answer. He will answer. Now, whether the answer is yes or no, I will have to accept it because I just put my life in His hands. Isaiah 43:2, I love this. When thou passest through the waters, He said, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fires, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were willing to enter the fire. But it was not until they were willing to enter the fire. They did that without any of assurance of deliverance from the trial that the miracle happened in their life. They didn't make up in their mind after God spoke to them and said, hey, I'm going to deliver you, that they were going to not bow and go into this fiery furnace. God didn't tell them, hey, I'm going to keep you and I'm not going to let any bad things happen to you. Go ahead and don't bow and walk into that fire. No. They made up in their mind before the fire that they were going to do whatever was right, and they knew what was right. They decided that they were going to walk in the fire, and if God delivered them, God delivered them. But if He chose not to deliver them, they still put their trust and their faith in their God. God did not save them from the fire. God saved them in the fire. Would you stand with me? Musicians, come please. I said God didn't save them from the fire. God saved them in the fire. And I just feel in the Holy Ghost that there are some people that are in the fire right now. You prayed and prayed and prayed that God would save you from the fire, and He didn't keep that thing from happening to you, but God is wanting to save you in the fire. Will you still trust Him? Will you still put your confidence in Him? Will you still have your faith in Him? I guess God could have dealt with Nebuchadnezzar's heart and decided not to throw those boys into the fire. I guess God could have blinded the eyes of the Chaldeans so that they didn't see that these boys did not bow. There are a lot of different things that God could have done. But God allowed those boys to walk in the fire so that when they came out, there was a testimony and a testament to the power of the God that they served. God may not have delivered you from the fire. Hear me, child of God. Hear me, somebody that's watching online. God may not have delivered you the way you thought He was going to do it. God may not have answered your prayer in the time frame that you thought it should have been answered. And you may feel like you are in the fire right now. But I've got a word from God for you today. God is going to work in your situation while you are in the fire. Because when you come out of that fire, He is going to get all the glory and all the honor because He is the one that has delivered you. You cannot have a testimony without having a test. We want the testimony that God did it, but first of all, we've got to endure the test. And when you get faced with the fire, when you get faced with the fire, let this be your proclamation. I know that my God is able to deliver me. And I believe that God is going to deliver me. But if He chooses not to deliver me, I will not give up. And I will not give in. And I will not bow. But I will keep my trust in Him. All over this place today, would you lift your hands? And would you make this proclamation to God? God, I put my trust in You. God, I put my life in Your hands. God, I place You as sovereign in my life. God, I've been praying and I've been seeking You for this situation. God, I'm asking You to do it one way. But if You choose not to do it that way, I'm still going to trust You. My faith is still going to be in You. I'm not going to bow to fear. I'm not going to bow to doubt. I'm not going to bow to discouragement because I know, God, that You are able. I know, God, that You can. I know and believe, God, that You will. But if You don't do it, if You don't do it, I'm still going to trust You. It. Would you use this as a prayer today and tell Him, I'm going to trust You, God, no matter what and no matter the situation, no matter how bad the situation looks, I'm going to trust in You. My hope is going to be in You. My joy comes from You. Would you lift your hands and would you just make this your prayer today? Still, I'm going to trust You. Still, I'm going to trust You. I don't understand with my human frailty and my human mind why we've got to go through the things that we go through. But I'm thankful for a God who loves us. I'm thankful for a God who cares for us. And I'm thankful that He gave us His Word to strengthen us. Would you just thank Him one more time for His Word and for speaking to our lives? Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your help. Our confidence and our trust is in You, Jesus.
Thank God for a heartfelt message to our hearts. We appreciate it. Knowledge that God is able and God is willing, but in the end, we knows best, does He not? He may or may not answer the way we think or when we think, but we know His ways are best. And this was a vital mindset preached to us today. I don't think just for this time, any time in the life of a child of God, a vital mindset that we would decide, still, I'll trust Him. Pentecostals, I guess, over the years, I've grown up in this, so I think I can speak with a little bit of knowledge. We've been accused of being very emotional, but if you'll think about it, no pun intended, those Hebrew children, they made a reasoned decision. In fact, they had extra time to think about it, didn't they? So emotions of fear or any other kind of negative emotion had plenty of time to work its way into their minds, but they made a reasoned decision. But if not, we're still going to serve Him. We're still going to do the will of God. And so, yeah, there is emotion involved in the Pentecostal experience, but it's not only emotion, is it? Sometimes it's a cold, hard-nosed decision. I will follow. I will do the will of God, even though it might not be what I want to do. So would you one more time thank the Lord for a message to your heart today? We need to thank Him for this. Lord, appreciate so much this mindset that's been preached to us and a determination. We thank You, Lord, for Your love for us and that You're going to sustain us by Your great power and that Your ways truly are best. Help us to hold on to that reality and truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.